In the Philippines, the nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary doesn't really need any explanation. I almost don't have to give a homily, because the Blessed Virgin Mary is very popular in the Philippines. Devotion to her is very strong. This is the home of the Pueblo Amante de Maria. Birthdays are very popular in the Philippines. So this is like an obvious day to celebrate, and that's why the chapel is full of people. Not only that, we haven't been able to do this for the past 2 years, to have a chapel full of people on the birthday of Mary. So of course we celebrate. You don't even have to explain it or think about it. It's just, it comes naturally. In the parish, they had and I'm sure in parishes all over the country, they had a procession this morning. Started at 5:30. 5:30 procession, 6:30 mass. Maybe some of you were there. And then after the mass, birthday party. The people were encouraged to bring cakes and flowers. So, in my background, nobody gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning to eat chocolate cake. But not only is it a beautiful devotion to Our Lady, I was told it was also an extension of the tradition of singing on the morning of someone's birthday. What is the word for that? Mañanita. Yeah, when you go to someone's house on their birthday early in the morning and sing to them. So I don't know if that's the reason for the procession, but it does kind of fit that tradition, a festive way of starting out the birthday. Here in this shrine, we're also celebrating our anniversary. This shrine and this whole compound was blessed, consecrated on September 8th. That was 2003, so this is the 19th anniversary of this place. Bishop Mercado and Bishop Cabrera were both here and blessed the whole compound, the shrine, the chapel. Some of you were here for that too. So we're all getting older. But it's a day of celebration, no doubt. And as I said, it doesn't require explanation. What might require some explanation is why on the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we read the genealogy and the story of the birth of Jesus. And this is not Christmas Day. This is the birth of Mary. Shouldn't we be focused more on her? Now, of course, there is no genealogy of Mary in the Bible, and there's no description of her birth. So someone might say in a superficial way, well, there isn't anything in the Bible about her birthday, so we just use this instead. I think that's not very perceptive. I think the better way of understanding it is the birth of Mary is so inseparable, is so intrinsically linked to the birth of Jesus that, of course, we read about the birth of Jesus on the birth of Mary. We read, in fact, this is Matthew's Gospel, the very beginning of Matthew's Gospel, and this is the very first mention of Mary in the whole Bible, because Matthew's Gospel is the first, and this is the first time she's mentioned. It comes after this long list of names, generation after generation after generation, the father, the son, the father, the son, sometimes the mother, then all of a sudden there's a husband. The first husband mentioned in the whole genealogy is Joseph, mentioned as a husband. Matan, father of Jacob, Jacob, father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And that's how Mary gets introduced as the wife of Joseph. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. In that one verse, not only are we completely thrown off because we've been expecting father, son, father, son, father, son, but we're also introduced to the very center of the mystery of Jesus and the connection of Mary to Jesus. Joseph, husband of Mary, of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. Mary is his mother. She's the wife of Joseph. And that's the whole story. So the birth of Mary, the birthday of Mary, is the birth of a mother. And when you talk about a mother, you're talking about the one to whom she gives birth, and that's Jesus. So, of course, we're celebrating Mary and Jesus together. You can't separate them. And the joy of this birthday points to the joy of the birth of her child, that is Jesus. Usually, when people look back on genealogies and you think of generation after generation after generation, you say, well, see how it happens. So parent, child, parent, child, parent, child. Joseph is not the father of Jesus. Mary is the mother of Jesus, and Jesus doesn't have any children. So it looks like the genealogy ends there. Mary only has one child, and Jesus is the child, and he doesn't have any children. It's not the end. It's the beginning of a new genealogy, which includes us. This is why we honor Mary as our mother. We're not her physical descendants. She only had one child. But her child is Jesus Christ, and we are all incorporated into Christ. We're all the body of Christ by baptism. So as soon as we enter into the church, we become children of Mary. Because we are members of the body of her son. So this is it. We're celebrating Mary, celebrating Jesus, celebrating our life in Christ. I know a lot of people don't like reading all these names or hearing all these names in the genealogy, but it's a great portrayal of how God has entered into the whole human story. It represents the whole human family, not just 14 generations from Abraham to David and 14 generations David to the Babylonian exile, etc., etc., but the whole human story. From generation to generation, God was at work. From generation to generation, God is present. He's preparing the way, and at the right moment, in the fullness of time, he comes into the story himself, born of a woman, born under the law. That's what we celebrate. In the first reading, we took a little passage from Paul's great letter to the Romans, where Paul says, we know that all things work for good for those who love God. It's an extraordinary thing to say, but it's a beautiful thing to reflect on the birthday of Mary. All things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. See, God is the one who orchestrates this whole thing. God is the master of history, the Lord of history, and he works out all things for good, even the things that don't look good to us. He knew it ahead of time, foreknew, predestined the people who are part of his plan from the beginning to be conformed to the image of his son of Mary, so that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. So this is it. Jesus is the firstborn. And I said, well, Mary didn't have any other children. So firstborn, lastborn, only born. No. Firstborn of many brothers. That means all of us, brothers and sisters. All those who are called, justified, and glorified by the power of Jesus' death and resurrection. Okay. Maybe that's enough. We're celebrating the whole mystery of our salvation, which breaks into human history through this simple, humble link, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Without her, the whole chain breaks. She is the child of the human family and the mother of God. She is the means through which God has decided to become one of us. And so we celebrate her birthday, her life, her mission, her motherhood. We honor our mother and the mother of Christ today.